Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
I want to talk first to the Minister for Further and Higher Education, James Lawless, because he said Ireland could find a great opportunity in a possible exodus from the US of academics and experts and researchers who are leaving the US in response to the Trump administration. Minister James Lawless, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good evening, Cormac. How are you?
Kind of the US's difficulty is Ireland's opportunity is the tack you're taking here. What kind of an opportunity do you see?
So, look, we're all aware of the uncertainty and upheaval in the United States around the university sector, around research. We have federal programs being cut funding. We have, I suppose, a chilling effect on campuses in terms of academic integrity, in terms of free speech and freedom of research. And we're seeing a number of programs just sort of winding up. And a study by Nature magazine, the highly respected periodical, said that 75% of US academics are considering relocating. Mm-hmm. So if we have the best and brightest minds of our generation, as traditionally were located actually in the US, looking to move, what better home for them than Ireland, who have always centred, prided ourselves on our knowledge economy. We have excellent higher education institutions, and I'm putting in place a tailored programme to welcome people on the move. They typically bring teams with them, looking probably at two categories, leaders in their fields, world leaders in global research, cutting edge research, who will have established practices and work in progress, but also rising stars, people emerging from universities about to make a great breakthrough, who may be stymied in that now because of the, I suppose, short-sightedness of what's happening in some of these universities.
It's going to happen. It is happening. I don't know if you've heard this in the last hour or so. The Trump administration say they'll cut another $450 million in grants to Harvard, and that's on top of the $2.2 billion already frozen. So you're tapping into something here. Other countries are trying the same, like Denmark and the UK and Scandinavia and so on. How will you entice those academics here, though?
So, look, I suppose we have a very strong relationship already, a network with US institutions. Research Ireland is the principal state agency for funding research programs. I'm working through that agency. Also, our higher education institutions, our universities, have very good networks across the states as well. We're already getting soft inquiries. We're getting people reaching out. We have been for a number of weeks now, expressing interest. And I suppose I'm formalising that with a support package, saying, look, if people want to relocate to Ireland, they can partner with the model is they will partner with a university here, that they will come and join a team or bring a team, typically in an area of strategic interest to Ireland and to our system. Well, food security, digital technologies, artificial intelligence, semiconductors, quantum technologies, energy, digital healthcare. These are some of the areas. I don't want to be overly prescriptive because we may find that somebody, you know, if the next big thing is around the corner, we have somebody actually coming, bringing their team and their research with them. I don't want to say no, but at the same time, we do want to focus in areas that we already, I suppose, are working on and have identified.
It makes sense. Anything that could give us an edge or that could increase our knowledge or expertise in the country. Where are you going to find the space or the money for them, though?
Yeah, so I suppose the initial programme, it's a first phase. I've committed to $9 million per annum over the next 5 years. I've just actually come from the Chamber before I came on air. We're having a debate at the moment around the power of higher education and research as an economic enabler. And we know that for every euro spent on innovation and research, it typically returns €5. So it's a fivefold return. This is the, I suppose, foundation block of our knowledge economy. It's why we are so successful in everything from foreign direct investment, but also to our indigenous industry and innovation. Just last week, I brought Ireland into CERN, the Particle Physics Laboratory in Europe. I also got cabinet approval during the Quantum Computing Pact at European level. And international collaborations of excellent science as how we differentiate and how we actually work ahead. Yeah. And it's been part of our economic strategy for the last 50 years.
Well, hang on a second so here now. If I may jump in, and I say that very respectfully, Minister, €9 million per annum. When you break that down, you know, based on all the various sectors that you mentioned, to hire the academics who would be experts in world experts in their field, if you're coming from Harvard, for example, and their team, and possibly equipment as well, and funding for research, I mean, that's a drop in the ocean, is it not?
Well, I suppose it depends. Many of these individuals will bring matched funding with them. The kind of individuals being targeted are those kind of outstanding stars who will have the capacity to attract industry funding, private sector funding, and the funding that I'm providing, I expect will be matched by the universities. So this is, I suppose, seed capital to get the scheme underway. I'm also proposing in the National Development Plan, which is currently under review, where we've already had a commitment from myself and the Taoiseach to significant additional funding for research and innovation, that there will be a line item within that, an envelope for funding for this initiative. So look, this is a start. It's a sort of pilot phase. You know, the opportunity is now. We can't wait on this. We have to get this programme up and running. But certainly I would intend to strengthen it and broaden it in the weeks and months ahead.
Which is great generally, but if I'm an Irish-based PhD or researcher, the message I'm getting from you is move aside, make space for the Americans.
Well, that would be extraordinary for any researcher that read the programme for government, because I don't think there's ever been as many commitments and aspirations to support research and innovation as there is in this particular programme for government.
Sure, they're crying out for more funding all the time, notwithstanding that.
So I attended the Irish Universities Association keynote. I was the keynote speaker at their conference yesterday. All the universities were represented at very senior level and right across the research and innovation teams and different deans of faculties. There was, I'd say, a universal welcome for this initiative from the university sector across the board. In addition to that,
you're not saying that they're. Am I wrong in that then? That they're the research, the universities and their research labs are saying we could do with more money all the time,
and they'll get it. That's one of the key priorities of my ministry is to invest.
There's a difference between it being a priority and it being a reality now. And my point is, if I'm an Irish-based PhD or researcher right now, I'm waiting for your funding, but you're moving funding along quite quickly for the Irish or the American PhDs.
Yeah, so 2 weeks ago I brought through Cabinet the National Training Fund legislation. That allows 1.5 billion of a pot of money to be unlocked for higher education, further education, research funding. The PhD stipend, the student stipend has now increased to 25,000. I intend to support more PhDs than ever before. Mm-hmm. I also announced yesterday at the Irish University Association event, I intend to create a new ecosystem for research funding that will be long the lines of the OPEAR TLI, which basically was an infrastructure and equipment programme supporting talent, supporting the high-end expensive equipment that we need for research infrastructure, and that would be a competitive call. So people who want to come forward, and there will be an international panel of experts will assess this and make best-in-class recommendations. That is available to Irish universities, to Irish students and Irish researchers. Okay. That would be a very significant funding envelope, is my intention.
A listener asks, where will these US academics live?
Well, look, these are they'll be partnering with their academic institute. I think if we were to shut down the country and say, well, actually, you know, I think, you know, I appreciate there's a housing crisis. Mm. I appreciate there's a student accommodation crisis,
fair
which I'm working on as well. Look, and I think, to be honest, the numbers we're talking about are not going to trouble the accommodation supply, you know, at the scale that we're talking about. I think, you know, I appreciate the concern. I think maybe, you know, look, the student accommodation is a whole different strategy, and I am bringing to publication later this summer how we are going to address student accommodation. So I want to standardise the strategy. It's been, prior to the establishment of my department by the Taoiseach in the last term, there was no student accommodation strategy. It sort of sat ad hoc, managed by individual institutions as a side of housing.
You're moving on that.
Yes.
Okay.
We have 1,000 new beds coming through the student, the short-term activation fund across Trinity, Maynooth and DCU. That's this summer. They're going to the boards for approval. Some of those will actually be opening this September.
Okay. As I say, other countries are trying to entice the top minds of US academia, and why not us if it gives an edge to the economy in Ireland and so on. Can I ask you, Minister, if I may, two quick questions on other matters since I have you. Extending, and this was raised, I think, in the Dáil today, the government extending the first home scheme to 2027 and providing an additional 30 million euro into it as well as a shared equity scheme. Is this wise, I wonder, given all of the criticism attached to it?
So look, it's been a very successful programme. We've seen multiple drawdowns of it. I think there was 15,000 people registered for the scheme just in the last quarter alone. There was a degree of uncertainty. Look, obviously it's a new government, it's a new minister. People perhaps pausing decisions around purchases and making that move until they got clarity about the scheme and whether it was going to continue. The minister has now brought forward a memo, which the cabinet approved this morning, renewing that for another 2 years. It has been a very popular scheme.
But people say it pushes house prices up.
Look, there are as many different schools of thought on the housing challenge as there are perhaps houses that we need to build. So look, there's many different ways we can slice this, but ultimately this is something government have approved today. I welcome it. I think it gives clarity and certainty.
Okay.
And most importantly, it gives a cash injection to those first-time buyers trying to get on the ladder that have availed of this in their droves over the last couple of years. It's a successful, popular scheme. The banks have signed on to it, the state have signed on to it, and it's now available again, renewed for another 2 years.
Okay. Finally, on the CHI letters, Children's Health Ireland, the letters to families whose children have had surgery on hip dysplasia, three hospitals offering them quote-unquote routine follow-up care. Now, some of the families might ask questions, why this letter now? Why the need for follow-up care? Is there a problem? How many people got the letter? And so on. There's the audit report is not finished, and that was mentioned by the Taoiseach and the Dáil. I mean, there is a vacuum, though, of information. Should the government fill that vacuum and give those answers?
Well, look, I think it might actually just create more questions. If the government was to attempt to preemptively step into the breach with partial information, I think that wouldn't be helpful. The Minister for Health, Minister Carol McNeill, is awaiting that clinical audit report. Once that report is published, she has said she's happy to have a full debate. I'm aware letters went out in recent weeks. My understanding is that was to give further information and intended to give reassurance about that audit.
But if the families have those questions now?
Well, I think we'll all be better placed to debate that and consider that when the report is published.
Okay, Minister James Lawless, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme.